This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, June 2nd, 2008. I'm Caleb Brown. It's been 5 years since the start of the war in Iraq, so why is so much of the spending for the war being done through emergency spending bills, so-called supplementals? We get some perspective from Cato Institute Budget Fellow Jeff Patch.
Supplemental spending bills are traditionally used for emergency legislation. They were used after Hurricane Katrina to provide money to rebuild that region, and they've also been used since 2001 to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Since 2001, almost $700 billion in supplemental funding has been provided for the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Several hundred billion dollars has been in domestic spending. And libertarians and others have huge concerns with using supplemental spending bills to subvert the regular budgetary process, because it avoids a lot of transparency in the system and it creates added deficits, because 90% of spending for the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan are off the books. And so it provides members of Congress with a politically expedient way to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan without taking into consideration long-term effects on the nation's fiscal house.
Aside from political gamesmanship, why shouldn't this money just go through the normal appropriation process?
Well, it should. Every year, the president proposes a budget. The Congress usually ignores it and passes their own budget and passes 12 regular appropriations bills. Sometimes there is a little bit of money included for the wars in a regular defense appropriations bill, but the president in the past has preferred war funding to go the supplemental route. The problem with that is that it opens up the door for a lot of log-rolling politics and for members to add pet projects and other wasteful spending to a bill that's deemed as must pass. There's a lot more oversight and I guess I would describe it as a regulatory process that is involved in the normal appropriations bills, and it's difficult for the president to explain why he hasn't been doing that, but that's why I sort of caught up in this process with demanding a clean supplemental now after years of accepting domestic spending and Republican passed supplementals.
So the turning point then was a Democratic takeover.
Well, it seems like that is the turning point, and also Republicans are making a lot of noise about the process in this bill. Democrats decided not to go through the committee process in the House, and Republicans roared that they were being shut out of the process and that Democrats were running the bill behind closed doors, adding earmarks and destroying the tradition of the House. And the problem with that is that Republicans have their own long history of subverting the committee process and regular parliamentary order, even on past supplemental spending bills. And so really it's devolved into a debate over process and how to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I think Democrats are in a better position politically because of past Republican missteps.
Is there any credibility to a case about why some of this money ought to be spent through a supplemental?
Right after the tragedy on September 11th and after the president decided to invade Iraq in 2003, there was a good case to be made that funding for these wars needed to be done through an emergency supplemental. All of that urgency is now gone. And right now, the only reason I can think of that a supplemental would be used would be for political reasons. It simply makes no sense from a budgetary perspective to continue to fund the war off the books and pretending that that the United States can't estimate broadly how much money will be needed to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
How transparent is the regular process of appropriation?
Well, the regular process is messy, but more transparent. There are hearings held on each of the appropriations bills in subcommittees. The full appropriations committee will mark up the spending bills. They'll be debated. This supplemental spending bill was largely written behind closed doors, pinged back and forth between leaders in the House and Senate. Over $6 billion in earmarks were added for weapons programs that the Defense Department has deemed unnecessary, and there's really been very little opportunity for members to challenge the bill. The Senate, in Appropriations Chairman Robert Byrd, decided to thwart the will of the Democratic leadership and hold us a hearing on the supplemental spending bill, and Democrats added 21 amendments with, you know, millions of dollars in special projects that some of them were stripped out, but it's really just a complete mess and illustrates why the process is so broken in using emergency supplemental spending bills for these wars.
The bill that's currently under consideration to fund the wars, where does that stand right now?
The bill has been passed by the House, although because of a procedural protest, Republicans in the House voted present on the war funding. And the Senate restored that on May 22nd and passed a bill with two amendments, one providing for domestic spending, $50 billion over 10 years for veterans programs, money for Hurricane Katrina. And they also passed $165 billion for the wars in 2008 and another $70 billion for 2009. A sticking point is that the domestic spending is not paid for. The House passed a tax increase to pay for veteran spending, and the president opposes all domestic spending in the supplemental spending bill. So there will be a veto showdown with the president when Congress returns from a Memorial Day recess in June, and they'll likely start all over again.
Jeff Patch is a budget fellow at the Cato Institute. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Read more on federal getting and spending at our website, cato.org.